So this week's Parsha is Parsha Vayigash. Of course, we all know the story with Yosef revealing himself to his brothers and seemingly a very happy Parsha. And then Yaakov comes down to see Yosef. Beautiful reunion with all the children and everything. It's great. And Klal Yisrael is doing great. And Yosef is feeding all of Klal Yisrael. There's one significant downturn in this week's Parsha, which is... Wanna take a shot? Go ahead. So it's funny. You're right. What could go wrong? But the truth is that in this week's Parsha, they don't become slaves. It's really in Parsha Shmos they become slaves. But in this week's Parsha, Yaakov Avinu goes down to Mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu going down to Mitzrayim is the beginning of the Shibud, right? We all know it's supposed to be 400 years. Then whatever happened, it turned into 210. Kiminyan Radu Shama. And the 210 years start from right here, in this week's Parsha, when Yaakov Avinu goes down. And it's significant because... Especially in the thought of the Maral has a whole sefer called Dvoris Hashem. You've probably heard of it. It's always about the whole story of Pesach. What's not so well known is the first half of Dvoris Hashem has nothing to do. I mean, it has to do with the buildup to Pesach, and it starts off with Avram Avinu, and part of Avram Avinu, of course, the Bris Ben Abisarim, and they were going to go down to become slaves, and this is how it goes on. And now we see how Yaakov's coming down, how Yosef's coming down. And the Maral puts great weight on this factor of how Klal Yisrael goes down to Mitzrayim. And that they needed to go down to Mitzrayim and why that is. So he says over here, let's talk about the number one, he says, you have to know that's why Klal Yisrael came down, because of the Bris Ben Abisarim, and that's why they went down. I underlined, but don't make this ridiculous mistake, he says. Don't say ki mechiras Yosef hasiba laonish shibud Mitzrayim. Don't say that. Oh, you know why the Jews became slaves in Mitzrayim? It all started with mechiras Yosef. He says, don't say that. Davar ze lo yitachin kmo shamanu lamala. This wasn't something that was a new thing. This wasn't that was determined when Yosef was sold to Mitzrayim that the Jews were going to go down to Mitzrayim. This was predetermined from earlier. This was part of the way the plan was supposed to go. They were supposed to go down to Mitzrayim. He says, "Ki adarava yiridas Mitzrayim hu agorin lemechira." It's the opposite. You have to know which was the cause and which was the effect, right? The ultimate cause was that they needed to go to Mitzrayim. Yosef being sold was the hechitimtza for how to get Klal Yisrael down to Mitzrayim, right? In fact, he says, I always photocopy too much, but I'll paraphrase. He says, it's hinted to in the gift that Yosef sent to Yaakov in this week's Parsha. So the famous part that everybody remembers is the agolos, is the wagons that they were learning Egla Rufa. That's the famous thing. But he talks about a part that we don't pay attention to at all. And so it says that he says, Ula aviv shalach kazos asara chamorim nosim mituv mitzrayim. He says that he sent to his father 10 donkeys carrying the best of Mitzrayim. That's what he sent to his father. So the Maral explains, as he often does with symbolisms, he says there was a very hidden message in this. And he says he was trying to tell his father, don't be upset with the brothers for selling me. Don't be upset about Mechiras Yosef. He says, because of what we just said. What do you mean? This is all part of the plan. This is, you know, I belong here and this is a good thing. Right? It's a good thing, and now I'll be able to support all of Klal Yisrael, I'll be able to support the Shvatim, and I became the king, and it's all good. Yosef, we find throughout, constantly reiterates this point. But he says, the donkeys, let me explain the donkeys. Yeah, so where are the donkeys? So he says, also, we're on the line over here. He says, it was Bedafka 10 donkeys, because he was telling them like this. What was 10? 10 was the number of Shvatim who sold Yosef, right? Binyamin wasn't involved. There were 10 Shvatim involved in the sale. And so he says like this, he says, don't be upset with the brothers. Now, I realized afterwards, I could read this the wrong way. So he says, Lo hayu lemichiraso rak kimo hachamar shehu nosei masa ve'inu yodea tachlis masa hazeh shehu nosei. He says a donkey is just a donkey. Yeah, a donkey doesn't know what it's carrying on its back. A donkey is carrying whatever you put on its back. It's like a car, you know? It doesn't matter. Whatever you put there. Kacha shvatim. He says the shvatim are the same thing. He said the brothers, the hint was that don't be upset with the brothers. They're just chamorim. They're just donkeys. You know? They were just carrying a load. They didn't even realize what they were doing. That was the hint with the 10 donkeys. Kiloyu osim rak mashagazar lema kurj baruchu kimoa chamar zeh shenosei masa shesama lav adah adam. Right? He says that's how clueless the brothers were. He says even though perhaps the brothers had evil intentions and the brothers wanted to sell Yosef and all that, he says that is really all tangential to what was going on here. The brothers were pashut being, if you will, used. They were being used in a very physical sense by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the means to get Yosef where he belonged, which was down to Mitzrayim. That's part one. Part two is he brings a fascinating medrash over here. Things are fascinating medrash. He says, you'll take a look by the right where it says Bracious Rabba on the next side of the page. Rabbi Brachi Almar B'Shem Rabbi Yudah Bar Simon Moshel Lepara Shayu Moshkin Osolam Akulin. Yaakov Avinu going down to Mitzrayim was like a cow that they're pulling him towards the marketplace. He's not a stupid cow. He knows why he's being brought to the marketplace. He's going to get shechted. He's going to get eaten. He doesn't want to go to the marketplace. He didn't want to go. He fights it. Ma osula. So what do they do? How do they get the cow to move, to go where they want it to go? Moshchu es bena lifanea. They take the mother's the cow's child in front of it. The mother has no choice but to follow its baby. So it follows the baby, it follows the calf in. He says that's the Medrash says, that's he says is that's what happened to Yaakov Avinu. That's what happened to Yaakov Avinu. But the Medrash says it with a whole nother twist. He says, really Yaakov Avinu should have gone down in chains. Yaakov Avinu was supposed to go down to Mitzrayim. Supposed to be a sheep in Mitzrayim. The Medrash says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, how could I do this to Yaakov Avinu? So he brought Yaakov Avinu down, if you will, in a more humane fashion. Yeah, in a more subtle fashion. By sending Yosef down and having Yosef be there, and then that would be the cause for Yaakov Avinu to go down. Right? He says, really it was time. It was time to go down. But this was sort of almost like a chesed, if you will. Or a special schus that Yaakov Avinu had, that he shouldn't go down in this harsh way, but he should go down in this somewhat more gentle way, to the point that while he was going down to Mitzrayim, he wasn't, I don't think then he was very upset. We do find in the Psukim, you know, Hashem has to convince him, don't worry, go down, it's going to be okay, right? But he was very hesitant, right? He was very hesitant. I think it's worth to point out over here something that, you know, some people, when they start thinking very philosophically, they run into a little bit of trouble on this. They say, you know what, Hashem does everything for the best, so I don't really care what happens to me. Which has a lot of bitachon involved, but like it sort of takes away some of the life in a person. You know? Oh, you know, I get a... Hashem, you get into a car crash. Oh, okay. So Hashem, it's all good. You know, there is such a thing. You see over here that even Yaakov Avinu... What? Hashem couldn't explain to Yaakov Avinu, you know, you have to go down to Mitzrayim now. It's time. 210 years. It's going to be a great thing. We are meant to have sort of a natural resistance to things which are not good for us, which are not good in the immediate sense. And that's what Yaakov Avinu had. And that's why he needed to be coaxed. Yeah, Yaakov Avinu also understood this was all part of the master plan. But I think it's an important lesson for us as we sometimes encounter difficulties in life, that we're not a kofar b'ikar if we say, ah, I had such a hard day today. You know, it's okay to say that. We have to understand there's a broader plan that shouldn't make us perhaps too down or too impacted by it, but some impact is normal and natural. That's what we see over here. Okay? Fine. And so that's what he says. That's how Yaakov Avinu went down. Good. Good. And then he says like this. He says, and this was part of the, he says the whole story, we all understand, we all know it very well, but the story of how Yosef went down to Mitzrayim and how that brought Yaakov down to Mitzrayim, it's a very hashkochadik story, right? Which the morale again goes back to point out, again like we started off with, is that you shouldn't think that Yaakov just ended up in Mitzrayim. You know, it was all cheshbon. But then he says something which most people don't address. And he says, it's on the last column over here, on the side there, like 10 lines from the bottom. He says, V'dafka Yosef mi bein shar achiv. He says, why is it that Yosef was the one who was the, I don't know what to call him, the guinea pig, if you will, to go down to Mitzrayim? Why was he the one sent down to Mitzrayim amongst all the brothers? Okay, Yaakov had to come down there on account of something. But why was it with Yosef? So he says, Yosef Melech Moshal al Mitzrayim. He says, it was meant to be that Yosef should rule on Mitzrayim. Why? Ki Mitzrayim Nikroim Chamor. It's a different Chamor than before. The same word, but the same idea. But Mitzrayim are compared to Chamor. It's brought down a famous Tosfos in Ksubos. Ki Dechsiv Asher Besar Chamorim Besarim. That their flesh is like the flesh of donkeys. Chamor are very physical animals, purely physical, not particularly smart. You know, they bear a lot of weight, but that's about it. And the Mitzrayim were shtufei zima. He brings it straight from a pasuk. It says in what we learn on Yom Kippur, "Kimaisei eretz Mitzrayim asher yeshavtim b'lo sasu." In this parsha of Arayas, when it describes the problem with all the Arayas, it says, "Don't do like the people in Mitzrayim." You see, that was the pinnacle of Mitzrayim. That was the essence of Mitzrayim, was that they were shtufei zima. The lohaya ba'ola makom shayu shtufei zima kimaretz Mitzrayim. And there was no place that had as much znus and shmutz as Mitzrayim. He says, the Yosef haya kadosh v'nivdal min arayis. Kashatir in Maisa Botifar. Right? The story of, we see, of real greatness of Yosef is his ability to fight off H.S. Potiphar and fight off, not really fight her off physically, but fight off his own Yetzirahs and fight off the H.S. Potiphar, to fight off the Arayas. That was Yosef's godless. And so he says, that's why Yosef was the one to go down to Mitzrayim, because Yosef, because of this special Kedusha that he had, we spoke about a little bit last week, yeah? Because of the special Kedusha that Yosef had, so that Kedusha contrasted very well with the status of Mitzrayim. So that's why Yosef was the guinea pig. Yosef was the leader of the pack, and he went down first so that he could become the king over Mitzrayim. Okay? Now, he says about this really interesting thing. He says, now I turn you over the page. He says, let's start from the second line. V'kfar yodua ki atzura ha'poel v'hamolech. He says this, the morale, one of the most famous concepts the morale says in so many places, that the tzura is the driving force, is the king. V'achomer mishubud tachas hatzura. And the chomer, the physicality, is bound underneath the tzura. If you'll take a car, you know, a car has a lot of power behind it, but the one driving it is the one who's directing the car, right? So the same thing we have in a person, right? The mind is the tzura. The mind is what creates things, and the body is just the physicality, right? Countless things. You know, the morale in many places says that's chatting a husband and a wife. It says that a woman is typically more physical in a certain fashion, and she is the chomer, and the husband is the tzura. The husband is the one who sort of guides the relationship. This is what he says in Amish countless places, and he says that's the way it's supposed to be, right? The tzura takes over the chomer. Ah, So he says, that's it. So Yosef was this amazing Tzura, this amazing Kedusha and separation from Arayas. And Mitzrayim was full of Arayas. And so Yosef overcoming that was an extraordinary thing. Good? You got that? Then he asks another question I've never seen anywhere else. He says, Ulam, I'll say it outside. He says, why did Yosef have to go down to Mitzrayim for such a long time? Okay, Yosef had to rule over Mitzrayim. Why couldn't Yosef, you know, Yosef went down when he was 17. What would have happened, this is all more else, I'm just paraphrasing. What would have happened if he would have gone down when he was 29? Yeah? And Paro would have had his dream. Right? All the other stuff, what do you need it for? Paro could have had his dream. And poofed. Yosef would, they need an interpreter. The interpreter, they'd get Yosef and he'd interpret the dream and he'd become the king. Why do you have to be there for such a long time? Interesting question? Right? So again, it's all based on that everything here is with rhyme and reason. Everything here is with a great exactitude in Klal Yisrael getting down to Mitzrayim. So he says like this, he says an unbelievable thing. He says, let's read this together inside. About 8 lines in, by the dot. The ein ze kushe, it's not a kasha. Ki kvar yadua, ki atzura. We already know that the tzura, the driving force behind the person, be'ish shenolad hanar, when a child is born, yoser gover hachomer. Right? When a child is born, he has almost no tzura. Right? He can't really think. I mean, whatever he's doing, he can hardly see. Yeah, baby, I'll tell you, you can't even see for a couple weeks. Like they're barely seeing you. They're just seeing like blurry, you know? Right? His tzura is completely, has no ability to talk. No ability to express itself, right? It's just a cute little baby, right? It has all its limbs. Its chomer is in a certain sense not fully developed, but complete, right? It has all its parts, and yet the tzura is not there at all. Ad shlo nir shlemus atzira tzura betino v'tamid holech acher meisen aruso. And we know what happens then with kids, right? You try telling a two-year-old that's the wrong thing to do. What does that mean? Right, wrong, good, bad. I'm not listening to you. Yeah, there's a candy there. I want the candy. And I'm going to cry and scream until I get my candy. Reason with him. Logic. What's the matter with you? He's a kid. Right? The opposite happens. The tzura has no chance against this. Until what happens? Yigdal Hanar. Right? It's famous. As we develop, as we get older, it has to go slowly. It goes through processes. I won't plug in the ages. You'll plug in the ages yourself. You know, at 8 years old, you can accept this. You know, the kid will start doing this. At 12 years old, start doing, you know, what they call socially, what are they? You know, the right level. What? Social patterns and like this is the right social level, you know. What a third grader will do, you know, is acceptable for a third grader, is not acceptable for a seventh grader. You know what I mean?
The right stage of development.
What?
The right stage of
development. Right stage of development. They're very, you know, not totally precise, but you know, there's a way it's supposed to be going. And what's really going on is the tzura is taking over right around bar mitzvah. We make a big deal about the bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah is when we start thinking, okay, you know, maybe his brain has half a chance here. Maybe his neshama has a chance to you know, to guide the body. The body's getting bigger too, but the tzura is sort of growing at a faster pace. And then we keep going. And you know, people think like, oh, when we're 20 years old, we're like fully developed. You know, we're not. You know, not even 22, not even 24, you know. I sometimes joke around. I used to think when I first came to teach here, I thought, oh, I teach adults. You know, and then when I started teaching her a few more years, I started meeting my alumni a few years after they leave yeshiva. I'm like, oh, that's an adult. You know? Here they're like fully grown, but we're still developing. You know, I don't mean this in any insulting way. I hope nobody's taking it that way. It's normal. It's perfectly normal. You know, but at this age, in this stage of life, we're still developing, and the tzura is developing. Right? This is why in America, of course, there's a big problem. In America, the big problem is nobody really cares about tzura. Everybody only cares about chomer. So that's why, you know, the model, the perfect world is, oh, I wish I could be 20 years old forever, you know, and I don't know, doing whatever, because that's when I'm in the best shape, and like that's perfect, yeah. But your brain hasn't developed, you haven't developed any expertise, you don't know how to deal with people just yet so much, you know, maybe in some simple ways, but not in more advanced ways. You don't know how to have a relationship, you know, with a spouse. You don't know how to raise children. You know, there's so much to learn in the process of becoming tzura. But of course, in America, nobody talks about tzura, so it's lost. Tzura means. Good question. That's why I call it tzura. Tzura means, you know, the ability to form something. It's the mind. It's the neshama. It's the thing that's really driving. It's the thing that's in control. So we like to think that as we grow older and as we develop, our bodies are becoming more subservient to our neshamas. That's what we're hoping for. What? So it's not only intellect. It could be intellect. It could be neshama. In the simplest form, I'd call it intellect. In the simplest form that we're talking about tonight, yeah.
Influential manner, influence.
What?
How
it's being guided. No, the truth is, I the simplest example of tzura and chomer that I often give is if you have ink and you write a story with it. So you couldn't write the story without the ink and the paper. The ink and the paper are the chomer. The one who's writing it is the tzura. Right, the form that's being given. Tzura literally means form. Chomer is literally material, and tzura is form.
Clay.
Yeah, like clay. Right. So if I have a bunch of clay and then I put it into a shape, it's going to become that. So that's the tzura. Right. And so that's what should be guiding. Yeah, the finished product and the thing that makes the finished product, the things that makes it into something. It makes it into something more than just an amorphous mass of clay. Now it makes it into this, and it takes the ink, and instead of just being a bottle of ink, it's now a beautiful story. And when you say it like that, you realize how much more important the tzura is than the chomer. Right? And when you think about that example of the story, oh, very nice, you have a bottle of ink and a piece of paper. And when you get it into your professor as a paper, look, I have a paper, you know, oh, very nice. It's not a paper until you've made it into something, right? That's what the tzura is meant to be. And so that is what Yosef was. And so he says Yosef needed to go down there. Why? Because to properly develop this, for Yosef to become the king of Mitzrayim, he needed to go through all of the stages. He needed to go through all of the stages that were included in other words, in being chomer. So he started off as an eved, as being sold, literally like nothing, like just flesh and blood, and he's able to do work, and that's what he was sold as. And versus an eved, then slowly he became, you know, he got a raise in Potiphar's house, you know, he got up, and then he got put in jail. You know, he went through all of these physical trials and tribulations in order to show how this tzura would conquer the chomer. So it couldn't have just been like he asked, why wasn't he just born? Why didn't he just come down when he was 29 and just become, look, I can interpret dreams? That's missing the point. The point was Yosef was meant to, in a certain way, conquer all of the parts of Mitzrayim, and the way to conquer that was to start off on the very bottom in a state of chomer, just like a baby starts off. A baby starts off in chomer and then eventually develops into this wonderful human being. Right? If you sometimes have a baby who's a person who's like too smart, he's too intellectual, he doesn't deal with his body at all, they come out almost weird. You know, if you would just take somebody when he's 20 years old, say, look, here's your body, just go. You know, here's your brain, and so I'm giving you a fully developed brain, like, I don't know what, you know, it doesn't have an appreciation for all the different parts of how he's, of his development. Right? We need all of those parts to develop properly. So he says that's what Yosef really was able to accomplish. You know, we're going to stop here for tonight. I realize that I think we're going to lean out there and continue next week. So I hope you'll be able to come back next week, because I think this is really only step one in the process. Okay.